Next up, you will be listening to United Way Community Connections with Mike Affelberg.
United Way Community Connections. United Way Community Connections broadcasts every Monday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. right here on WSMN. In United Way Community Connections, you will be introduced to leaders from all of the great nonprofits in Greater Nashua, from caring for our children to our seniors, from helping our homeless pets to our at-risk vets, from learning the skills to get your GED, to dealing with trauma and substance abuse. Community Connections is the place to learn with Mike Affelberg about what's going on. Learn how you can help and make a difference from the experts. So sit back, grab a cup of coffee, and enjoy the show, which is making a difference in Greater Nashua. Here's your host, Mike Affelberg.
Well, good Monday morning, and welcome to the United Way Community Connections radio show. I'm your host, Mike Affelberg. It is Monday, April 22nd, 2024. Who can believe it? It's almost the end of April. We're almost into May. I there's a lot of things out there blooming. I know the pollen is out. It's funny because I was thinking over the weekend, years ago when our daughter was in school, in public school, elementary, middle, high school, we used to, of course, go away during the New Hampshire Vacation Week. This is New Hampshire Vacation Week. And I was always astonished how at the beginning of the week, it would be like things are starting to bloom. And then you would get back a week later, maybe go away somewhere, come back a week later, and everything would just be full on, you know, in its glory of nature's springtime, you know, fiesta of leaves and trees and flowers. So, and of course, for me, that is like for many, many, many people, a time of great beauty and great misery. I have seasonal allergies like so many others, and I noticed this weekend my eyes were starting to itch a little bit. And so welcome to Zyrtec season. That is not a word from our sponsor. Zyrtec is not a sponsor. If they're listening, of course, they might reach out. I might accept them in that role. But, it's just going to be a couple miserable weeks. And then, before we know it, summer's here. So welcome to spring. Anyways, we have a great show on tap for you today. We're going to be talking about early childhood education and daycare and all of the great initiatives going on throughout the state and in our community to improve the daycare ecosystem for the community. This is a really important topic. There's a lot of work going on. And, anybody who, of course, has a small child and works knows how important good quality daycare and childcare is. Anybody who cares about, the education and development of their small person in their lives also knows how important it is. And we all perhaps realize it's difficult to come by. It's expensive. Workforce is a challenge. And it's just one of those very vexing kind of issues. So we're going to talk about that with some experts from the state and looking forward to that discussion. Until then, let me tell you, you're listening to the Community Connections radio show, and this show is on each and every Monday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. We live stream it on WSMN.live. We're also on the Facebook page of United Way of Greater Nashua, streaming live, but of course, we're live on the radio too, 1590 a.m. and 95.3 FM. So what we do on this show is talk with community leaders and organizations, nonprofits that are working hard to make a difference in our community. When I think of nonprofits, there are so many fantastic nonprofits working to make Greater Nashua a better place for all of us who live and work here. And sometimes the thing is, you just don't know what you don't know, right? So over the course of listening to the show each week, you're going to learn about organizations. You're going to, be sitting around the picnic table this summer. And I like to kind of think, one of the reasons to listen to the show is you're sitting around and somebody says, my friend is struggling with substance abuse disorder. Maybe they're struggling with alcohol or some other type of substance. Or maybe somebody, lost their job and needs to do a job search or is looking for resources to support them, to help tide them over. Or, maybe they're looking for legal assistance and they're low income and can't afford that and want to know, where do I go for that? Well, these are all the types of topics that we talk about on this show with different organizations that provide these services. And by listening each week, you can become a person who is better positioned to tell your friend, your family member, your colleague, hey, you know what? I heard about this great organization, XYZ, and this is what they're doing, and you should give them a call. They might be able to help with that. You know, I also always tell people, you know, that none of us knows everything about everything in our community, so always keep 211 as a number in your mind. You know, I refer people to 211 all the time. Even though I might know a local resource, I'm still going to say, I don't know everything, so please be sure to call 211 and ask them too, because those folks have a database of all of the nonprofits serving our state and our region and can help make those referrals as well. So that's why you listen to the show, to help be a helping person. I think we all want that in life. But you know, the other reason I think it's important to listen to the show is that the organizations we talk about, especially and in particular the nonprofits we talk about, have always got a need for additional resources to function. Maybe those resources are people, like volunteers. Maybe they have an event coming up and they want to invite people to come and learn more and support them. Maybe they have a need for financial resources. So we have a very giving and very caring community. People come to me all the time and say, gee, I'm concerned about this particular issue. Maybe it's, you know, childhood hunger. And is there anybody in the community I can support that works on that? And I might turn around and say, yeah, you know what? There really is. And have you ever heard of N68 Hours of Hunger? You know, just as an example. They might say, well, no, I've never heard of that. Well, okay. They are an organization that helps to feed kids over the weekend when there is no school food, school lunches available. And, you know, they provide food bags for kids. And, you know, they're always looking for volunteers and they're always looking for donors. That's expensive, of course, buying a lot of food for people. So, you know, so I might say that. And, you know, then you would be in a position to say, oh, that resonates with me. I'd like to donate some time or money or both to that. And, you know, this kind of conversation goes on all the time. Depends on, you know, what interests you. People always ask me this question, like, where can I get involved? And my first question is an answer. My first answer is always another question, which is, well, what is meaningful to you? You know, people are going to stick with it when it's something which is a meaningful subject to them. So that's why you listen to the show. Now, there's a couple things going on I did want to mention before we take our first break. The first is, you know, it's April. And of course, you know that. And last week was tax week. And many of you might be getting tax returns. And perhaps you're thinking about buying a new vehicle with that quote unquote newfound wealth. Well, you know what? Best Ford, our good friends from Best Ford of Nashua out on Amherst Street, are once again partnering with United Way to support several local community organizations. We did this last year and supported Bridges, and then we supported Operation Delta Dog. This month in April, we're partnering with Best Ford and supporting N68 Hours of Hunger, which I just mentioned, as well as the equivalent program in Hudson called Hudson Feeds Our Kids that operates out of Alvern High School. And so if you are looking for a vehicle and you don't know where to start, start at Best Ford. They've got a great selection of new and used vehicles for every new or used vehicle purchased this month, including, may I add, motorcycles and ATVs. They're going to make a donation to those programs. And so we're excited and appreciative for that support. You know, the guys at Best Ford, John and Mike, are just fabulous to work with and really care about the community. So think about that if you're thinking about a new vehicle, Best Ford of Nashua, and they're going to also support our community and the needs of young people who are food insecure. I also did want to mention a couple other things going on at United Way. There's a lot. This is a very big week for us at United Way. We've been planning forever, it seems like, our community baby shower. This is, I believe, our seventh community baby shower. It will be all day tomorrow at United Way. We have about 75 families registered, which is a record that goes up each year. These are families that are low income and typically referred to us by our partners, such as Marguerite's Place and Family Promise. And they come to us to get not just stuff. We have a lot of stuff that's been donated, everything from diapers and you know, diaper bags to bottles and cribs and strollers and big stuff and little stuff and everything you need in between. Having a baby, it's a pricey venture. And so This is a big help for a lot of families just looking to get a start. But also we'll have resources there to learn more about the community. For example, the public health department always comes and they talk about some of their great programs. And families don't necessarily know about, well, what if I find lead in my apartment? Where do I go? What about various types of vaccinations, inoculations, you know, testing, food safety, those kinds of things. So the public health department, along with numerous others, will be there providing information to those families coming to the community baby shower. That is tomorrow at United Way of Greater Nashua on Broad Street. And I'm looking forward to really a fantastic event. The other thing I wanted to mention going on this week, which is sort of a under the radar, but not so much under the radar kind of a thing. We were the recipients of an incredible donation from a company down in Massachusetts. This is a company that is in the pharmaceutical business, and they're retooling their manufacturing to have different commercial freezers for their products. So they had a whole bunch of commercial freezers in really, really good condition, mint condition in many cases, to donate. And they reached out to us and said, you know, is there any possibility that you might need some commercial freezers? And of course, my first answer was, well, of course, yes. I mean, I don't need that at United Way, but we have a lot of pantry partners that do need commercial freezer space, and commercial freezers are expensive. A brand new two-door commercial freezer is typically going to cost you between $6,000 and $8,000. And so and having a commercial freezer like that on site gives you the ability to, in particular, provide a lot more protein to your clients in the form of, you know, frozen poultry, frozen meat, even frozen dairy. And, it, you know, keep it a lot longer so that it's a more consistent supply. So that's really important for a pantry as a commercial freezer. So we ended up, long story short, getting a donation from this company of 23 commercial freezers. Commercial freezers are a big thing. They're like, you know, 5 feet wide and 3 feet deep and 7 feet tall, and they weigh over 500 pounds. So Thursday is our big commercial freezer delivery day. We have a dozen different nonprofits that are going to be getting this total 23 different freezers, and we're going to be out in the community with a rented vehicle and a bunch of volunteers delivering those. I'm so excited to be doing this. And, you know, I just wanted to mention, big shout out to our friends from Law Logistics in particular. Brian Law and his crew at Law Logistics are very generous in that they've allowed us to store the commercial freezers at their place in Merrimack and help us to receive those into the community. So we're appreciative for that. Listen, you're listening to the United Way Community Connections Radio Show. We're going to take a quick break for our sponsors. And then after the break, we'll be back with our interviews today, talking with folks about early childhood education and daycare in the community and throughout the state. You're listening to Community Connections. I'm your host, Mike Affelberg.
I need to get some new shirts for my business.
Just call Sal.
Does he do screen printing also?
Just call Sal.
Does he embroider shirts too?
Just call Sal.
I also need business cards and brochures.
Just call Sal.
How about yard and lawn signs?
Just call Sal.
And promotional products to give my customers?
Just call Sal.
Who is Sal?
I'm Sal. My wife Jennifer and I are the proud owners of Fully Promoted of Southern New Hampshire. If you need embroidered or screen printed shirts, business cards, brochures, lawn signs, promotional products, and even personal protective equipment for your business or organization, just call me or stop by our showroom, conveniently located at 410 South River Road in Bedford, right off the Everett Turnpike. You can also visit our website at fullypromotedsnh.com. That's fullypromotedsnh.com. We are your one-stop shop for all your promotional needs. Fully Promoted of Southern New Hampshire. Our business is to help you grow your business.
Just call Sal.
Edgestone Properties is a leading home builder in Southern New Hampshire. With over 33 years experience, Edgestone offers highly valued residential homes, including first-time buyer, luxury move-up, and senior community opportunities. Edgestone also offers well-located rental apartments, including active adult communities. Visit us at edgestoneproperties.com or call us at 603-889-5208 to learn more. You can also like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. That's 603-889-5208.
Since 1930, United Way of Greater Nashua has been your trusted partner to fight for the health, education, and financial stability of every person in every community. When a low-income child needs access to dental care, or parents need quality after-school programs where their kids can learn and be safe, United Way is there. When a person with disabilities needs a supportive day program where they can thrive, or a family loses its home and needs a place to regain financial stability, United Way is there. When a homebound senior needs food and supportive social connections, or when it comes time to die with dignity, United Way is there. The programs supported by your United Way are the heart and soul of Greater Nashua. When you volunteer or donate to United Way, you lift up the community where you live and you work. As a highly regarded nonprofit with Charity Navigator and GuideStar, you can be sure that your donations will be used for the work of making Greater Nashua stronger, smarter, and safer. Learn more and connect with us at UnitedWayNashua.org.
We all wander. The rocky beaches beckon, the mystical forest calls, and the steep hills of life lure us up and down. Sometimes we lose our way. It's okay. Come home to Wanderlust Therapeutic Services, a leader in behavioral health counseling. We take true pride in caring for you, yours, and our community's mental health and well-being. We're in this together, guiding you through whatever life throws your way. Life has a way of doing that. Get well. Get back to wandering. The world awaits. If you or someone close to you needs competent mental health care, call Wanderlust Therapeutic Services at 603-889-3553. Conveniently located at 400 Amherst Street in Nashua, right off Exit 8 on Route 3.
CrossNet offers IT services for small and medium-sized clients. We create tailor-made plans for your business's unique needs. From computer repairs to managing networks, servers and desktop services, CrossNet Inc. offers managed services, cybersecurity, data backups, virus, ransomware protection, web filtering, and more. For more information, go to crossnetinc.com or call for your personalized IT services today at 603-810-1000. CrossNet Inc. IT services keeps your businesses running when you are on the run. Hey, good Monday morning, and welcome to the United Way Community Connections Radio Show. I'm your host, Mike Affelberg. It is Monday, April 22nd, 2024. We're almost there to May, and hope everybody had a great weekend. It's beautiful out today. I was just realizing, I'm looking down Main Street here in Nashua, and I see nothing but blue skies and, you know, some trees starting to bloom, and you know, it's just one of those gorgeous spring days. We don't get a lot of those, you know, and it's springtime happens really fast, and it's gone. So hope you had a great weekend, and welcome to our show. Super excited today to be talking about early childhood education and daycare and preschool and that entire space of how do we as a community come together to support families and children, you know, our youngest maybe post-toddler age people in our lives. I mentioned before the show and in the segment where we're talking about what's this new this week at United Way, we have our community baby shower tomorrow. That community baby shower is actually an initiative not just of United Way, but also of the Greater Nashua Smart Start Coalition. So very excited to have with me in the studio Stephanie Wiedert, who is actually representing the Smart Start Coalition today. Stephanie, welcome to our show.
Good morning. Thank you.
Good morning. It's so good to see you. And I'll get back to you in just a second. And we also have with us Karen Hebert. Karen is the director of the Division of Economic Stability at DHHS, state agency. And Karen is going to talk with us about some of the state initiatives going on in the early childhood space as well. So welcome to our show, Karen.
Great. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So good seeing both of you this morning. And I hope you had a fabulous weekend, and that this is just the beginning of a fantastic week. So, Stephanie, why don't we just start with you, the Smart Start Coalition. Maybe just tell us a little bit about what even is the Smart Start Coalition. This is really in Nashua, Greater Nashua. So it's really important for people to know, and maybe a great place for people to get involved.
Yeah. So the Smart Start Coalition started organically in 2016. It was just a small group of local organizations, educators, and parents who came together to try to meet the needs of the youngest children in our community and their families. So I don't know if you want me to list the towns that it serves, but it's actually far beyond Nashua. You know, it's a pretty big footprint around Nashua. And our mission is to work together to ensure that every child in our community has the best start to life. So the focus is really on children birth through age 8 and their families.
Yeah, I mean, without going into listing out all the towns, I always tell people, because I know the footprint is the same as the United Way footprint and the public health region as well. So it's basically Southern Hillsborough County. And, you know, so when people look at where is this coalition active, it's really everything from the New Hampshire-Mass border, you know, in Nashua and Merrimack, you know, north up to, but not including Bedford, and left and right over to Milford and Hudson.
Yeah.
Basically, that's about it.
Yep. Yeah, pretty big footprint. And so something to know about us is that we have grown a lot, and we have a lot of community partners, organizations that support families ranging from healthcare to behavioral health to educators, as I mentioned, our public libraries, which are so important. And we're really rooted in a commitment to diversity, inclusion, and belonging, because we understand that all children and families need to feel welcome and safe in their communities.
That's so important. And what do you do specifically, Stephanie, in the coalition, besides just being a leader and a volunteer? Like, how'd you get involved, and what do you do?
I just do radio shows.
You know what? That's all I do, too. So, like, we're match made in heaven,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they just pull me out when there's a radio show. No. I joined in 2019 because I was pregnant. I was an expecting parent. I live in Nashua, and so now I have a preschool-age daughter in the area. And I soon realized that my professional background in early childhood education and children's book publishing on a national level could serve the community. So since then, I've done a number of trainings for the education workforce here. And now I'm the project lead for one of our three major initiatives at the coalition.
Fantastic. So thank you for doing that and getting involved and just jumping in that way. It's really pretty important. You know, I like that you have that personal perspective and how you've translated that into sort of a community perspective as well.
Yeah.
So you're living the early childhood dream. You said you have a child in preschool now?
Yes. Yeah. 4-year-old.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And how's that going?
Great.
Was it hard to find?
A preschool?
Yeah.
So for me, no, because, you know, this is my field. So I am a total early childhood nerd. So I know basically every program in the area. I have visited all of them. So no, for me, it wasn't hard to find personally. But I think that for the average parent, it can be quite hard to find, especially when you get out of the major metropolitan area of Nashua, where there's a higher concentration of childcare programs. And so one of our biggest initiatives is to try to increase the availability of childcare for families.
Yeah, and it's that combination, like when you're choosing to put your child into childcare, it's that combination of, is it a safe environment? Is it a quality educational environment that's going to nurture my child? Is it something I can afford?
Yeah.
You know, there's so many factors that go into that decision. It's not an easy one to make, to be honest.
Yeah, no, not at all. And, you know, there are limitations too, like hours. You know, does it have enough hours to cover the work schedule? Where's the location? Yeah.
Yeah. What does it do during school vacation week?
Nothing.
Yeah.
I can tell you that right now.
Is your childcare open this week?
No.
So, what do you do then?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm lucky that I, you know, have a husband who's able to, you know, care for her right now, for instance. But a lot of people don't have that situation.
So I can relate to that, because when our daughter was little, when she was in preschool at the age of, you know, 3, my wife actually taught in the school where she went. Mm-hmm. So for us, that was a huge advantage. I know that's still an advantage for a lot of people. There's reduced rate tuition or free tuition for working parents that work in the school. For us, that was a fabulous solution, but I can see how that doesn't work for everybody, and frankly, for most.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So we're at a real crisis, like in the country and in the state, in terms of the pull between being able to work and having childcare.
Yeah, it's a big issue, and we'll come back to that. Absolutely. Yeah. So thank you, Stephanie, for that introduction. I appreciate that.
Sure.
So let's shift to Karen a little bit. Karen, welcome to our show. Thank you for joining me this morning.
Thank you.
So are you, and you must have made a little bit of a commute. You're down at, you must be up in Concord, I imagine.
Well, actually, I live in Center Conway, so it is a little bit of a commute even, for me.
So you drove all the way from Conway really this morning.
Yeah, I'm used to the drive. I've been doing a long commute for a long period of time. So,
But it's nice
to just get out and get to other areas of the state. I don't come to Nashua very often, so this is a great opportunity to just connect with other areas of the state.
Well, welcome to the Flatlands. Steph and I will both try to make sure that we don't speak with a really strong Nashua accent to confuse you or something. Center Conway is a beautiful area up there. I love that area. So thank you for joining us and welcome today. So tell us a little bit about your job and the division that you work for.
Sure. So the Division of Economic Stability has a number of bureaus within it. One of those bureaus is the Bureau of Child Development and Head Start Collaboration. So I oversee that bureau among others, such as Family Assistance, the Bureau of Child Support Services, Employment Supports, and our Integrated Eligibility System for supporting all of those different programs. So this is a great opportunity to talk a little bit about child care in the state and what the Bureau is actually doing to provide support. And there's really three major functions that the Bureau performs in the areas of child development. So primarily, you know, for children and their families, really focusing on quality of child care and the affordability of child care, which you just mentioned a little bit ago, and also the accessibility, making sure that families have equal access to child care around the state. One of the things that we administer is the funding for the Child Care Assistance Program. It's a subsidy program. It's known as the Child Care Scholarship, which is kind of an interesting term because scholarship basically implies that perhaps you have to earn that particular assistance when you don't. It's really an assistance program based on income and other eligibility criteria. So I do want to talk about that a little bit today. Yep. So the other another major function that we perform is specifically support for child care providers around the state. So really supporting their business operations, helping to offer quality care and services in each of their facilities, and also fund things like professional development, education and training. And we also support and publicize the Head Start program. That's for quality care and education for children as an alternative for some families. Right now, there are 713 licensed child care providers in the state, and 568 of them accept the Child Care Scholarship program for those children. The third thing, which is great to be here with Stephanie, because it's really a great example of the work that we do with our partners in the community, because the state just can't do it alone. We really need the support and collaboration with our community partners. A lot of the work does get done within the community. So we do a lot of support for regional networking of providers, collaborating with a number of organizations and stakeholders all around the state. We want a positive learning experience for children and in a safe environment. So we do address health and safety issues for providers and include training and education for them. And then also connecting families to a number of those community resources that may be available to them to meet a variety of different needs.
Well, so one of the, that's a lot to, there's a lot to unpack in all of that you just said. So I think what I'm going to start with is the number, 713 you said. Now, how has that number fluctuated over the past couple of years?
It's fluctuated a bit. So there, because of the pandemic, I think there are a number of providers who really struggled to survive through the pandemic. So the number used to be a bit higher as far as licensed providers go. We don't have a count of what's known as licensed exempt providers. So there are folks who are providing childcare services who are known as licensed exempt. We don't know the number of those because we only track the number of licensed programs. But
Does license exempt, does that refer to like the in-home kind of programs?
You can be a family child care provider and be licensed or licensed exempt. So that's really a third category, if you will, of providers. And, you know, one of the things that we noticed that the pandemic really highlighted was some of those what we refer to as deserts around the state that don't have a supply of child care easily accessible. Either there are long commutes, there are very few. There are some programs that did close because of the pandemic. So we're trying to work to support a number of those in different ways. There are some programs that merged to support each other through the pandemic. So that is another reason why you see a lower number where they didn't necessarily close. They just moved in together, so to speak.
Right. One of the things I've heard often, actually, is that there seems to be, and that's not a surprise, there seems to be sort of an inherent tension or difficulty in when you talk about quality versus accessibility. That quality is something which can be measured in a lot of different ways, and licensing plays into that, and training, and ratios of providers to children, all of those things, like that regulatory framework. Mm-hmm. And on the other hand, having those regulations be overly burdensome to the point where it keeps people from entering the field. And how is that? And I know that there's been a lot of work to sort of help to streamline some of that. And maybe we can talk a little bit about that. For example, I know that my colleague Liz would be really mad at me if I didn't mention that there's a new program that allows people who want to open a child care but they can't do it in their home because maybe they are tenants and they're not allowed to under a rental agreement. And I think that now you can partner with a community organization like a church to use their space to have a child care, that type of thing. That strikes me as a great way to sort of improve that overall regulatory framework to make child care more accessible. Any thoughts on that, Karen?
Sure. So we're actually engaged with a number of projects and pilot programs, really looking at different strategic ways we can strengthen child care in the state to find real long-term sustainable solutions for child care. So, one of the areas is working more with the business community, which is really pretty new. So how do we work with employers who need employees? How do we understand better the needs of the employees, but also the needs of the employer? So we have a program right now that we're working on with Granite United Way, which has been great. They've really kicked off to a great start, connecting with a number of employers, conducting a survey. I think we recently completed that survey with about 2,500 responses to it. So we'll have some really rich data to look at and have a better understanding as to what the needs are out there. In addition to that, there are programs that we're putting in place for family child care and to expand family child care throughout the state. So for folks who might be interested in starting up child care or expanding an existing business, we are offering funding to work with the Community Development Finance Authority, as well as another vendor known as the SEED Corporation. So they are working with center-based programs and family child care programs to conduct what's kind of a business health assessment so that we have a better understanding as to what are the actual needs of your child care center or your family-based child care center, and then be able to open up a door based on those health assessments to really identify what is it that each of the child care provider need to strengthen their own business, and then opening up a grant opportunity for them to take advantage of funding to be able to do that. So I really want to make sure that folks are really well aware of those opportunities, because it's other federal funding that we received for the state to be able to strengthen child care in New Hampshire.
So in terms of learning about those types of opportunities, aside from of course, everybody's listening to the radio show this morning. So literally everyone. And if they're not, they should be ashamed of themselves. No, No, but what's the best avenue or avenues to learning about these opportunities as they roll out? That's one of the things I find all the time is there's so many great opportunities for many, like huge variety of things, but you don't know what you don't know, right? So where does somebody go to learn more about this?
So I would encourage people to go to the child care website, which is New Hampshire. It's nh-connections.org. So New Hampshire Connections is a consumer-facing website specifically for child care. So there are sections in there for families, information about how to apply for the scholarship, as well as providers and how we're supporting the provider community and where they can tap into opportunities to either apply for grants or other access to professional development, tuition assistance, to really gain that quality that we're looking for. We also have the Granite Steps for Quality program, which is the state's quality rating and improvement system. So there are a number of opportunities that we're incentivizing providers to take advantage of through this particular program, and we incentivize them in different ways, either with funding or materials, educational pieces, when they meet certain benchmarks. So it's a great program, and again, you can find that information on nh-connections.org.
That's fantastic that there is actually a one-stop shopping kind of a resource. Fantastic. I'm going to pivot back to Stephanie for a couple minutes, give you a second to breathe, come up for air, and then we'll come back to you, Karen, okay?
Great, thank you.
Thank you, Stephanie. So the first question I wanted to ask about Smart Start is, who's involved with the Smart Start Coalition and what types of people, what perspectives, and who should be involved and how do they get involved?
Okay, these are great questions. So anybody who touches the lives of children and their families in the greater Nashua area is really welcome to be involved. Our coalition meets once a month on Zoom. And at the moment, we have a robust coalition that includes educators. We'd love to have more pediatricians and pediatric practices involved. We have behavioral health specialists. We have community supports like Waypoint, Marguerite's Place, other organizations that support families. We have representations from various immigrant and groups in the community. And parents. Parents are really one of the cornerstones.
And you mentioned pediatricians, wanting more pediatricians at the table. Are there other sectors which are really underrepresented where you're looking for like lots more representation?
Well, we're starting to actually work a bit more with law enforcement, which is nice, through our ACERT program, which is basically an intervention program designed to help children at risk for trauma. And so that program we're actually currently expanding. It's been in Milford. We're expanding to Merrimack. That involves a police officer, a mental behavioral health specialist, community outreach worker, so things like that. So, yeah, really, I mean, if you can think of anyone who touches the life of a child, we want them involved. I would say also public schools, because early childhood continues through age 8, technically. we'd like to involve the public schools more as well.
Well, you know, in a lot of states around the country, public schools would be, you know, a cornerstone of the preschool conversation, right? I think New Hampshire, I heard, is one of only 7 states that doesn't have universal pre-K around the country. I was shocked to hear that, actually, because I just didn't think it was that ubiquitous that would be the case, but it's very important.
It sure is.
So, if you had a magic wand, Stephanie, what would your magic wand do in our community around early childhood? Maybe wand that had a little bit of a realistic touch.
Well, my area of expertise is in early childhood education, so I can speak to that. And also as a parent, now this is a really big magic wand, okay?
Yeah.
We would have paid parental leave starting from birth. We would have universal child care that's subsidized, supported, high quality. And teachers would be paid more, and there would be a bar for qualifications. So at the moment, because there's such a need for early childhood educators, the bar has been lowered quite a bit, which is, not great for the profession. You know, we want highly trained people caring for our kids, 90% of brain development happens before the age of five. It's such an important age, but is not currently valued, at least financially,
right?
You know, by any part of the government in a robust way.
Well, it's interesting what you just described. I do actually have a frame of reference for that because my wife is from Germany, and so we've spent a lot of time living there. And I actually have relatives that work in the early childhood space in Germany. And what you just described, those three criteria, paid family, parental leave, universal early childhood, and what was the third one?
Higher teacher pay.
Higher teacher pay. Yeah, all of that is actually the case. Teacher pay in Germany for early childhood educators is a family-sustaining wage. It's considered a real profession, not a hobbyist profession where you have to live in poverty and be on welfare. It's actually considered a real profession, highly valued, and people do get parental leave, and I think it's like 14 weeks or 16 weeks slot. It's a lot more than we have. I think about when my daughter was born, I had a really generous employer who kindly gave me like 2 days off, and I think my wife got like a week.
And
that was like on, you know, generously on top of our PTO. So it's pretty hard as a parent here.
Now listen, I have friends here who are physicians, they're doctors, they're, you know, highly compensated professionals, they're really important for our community. They get zero paid parental leave when they have a child.
Yeah.
So even our sort of most respected professions in the community do not have access to that benefit.
Well, we didn't at United Way. We had never had, I'll share a personal experience and I'm going to pivot back to Karen. You know, we did not have a policy because it had been like literally forever since we had an employee where we had to have a policy on paid parental leave or parental leave at all. And so my colleague Samantha, this is what happens when you bring on board somebody of childbearing age. She got pregnant. We had this conversation. We figured out, well, we really need to have something in place. So we put in place a policy to make that happen. But I know so many employers that don't have anything, and that's pretty hard. It's for sure difficult. So,
well, Smart Start is working to come up with some local solutions, which when we have a chance, I'll let you know what those are.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But I'm going to pivot back to Karen first. Karen, I do want to talk about the Early Childhood Scholarship. So maybe let's, if you can like go into that just a little bit, like what are the details and how does you learn more and who qualifies, that kind of thing.
Sure. So, I mean, one of the things that's really come out because of the pandemic in the state, as well as across the country, is the cost of childcare. And it's really quite expensive. So based on information we have from Child Care Aware, one of our partners, that in 2022, the cost of childcare in New Hampshire at the average annual cost for center-based care was $15,000. So $15,000 a year. Or for another example, a family with an infant and a four-year-old in center-based care was $28,340 on average. That's pretty extraordinary.
So $15,000, if you're earning $15 an hour, which many do not, but say you are, that means you need to work 1,000 hours a year, which is basically half the year.
It's incredible.
Just to provide for childcare.
So what?
Good thing your apartment. Good thing housing is so accessible and affordable. So that's not.
That's a whole other.
Just kidding. Not even going to go there.
It's okay.
Yeah.
So what we know is that the cost of childcare certainly may be preventing people from working. Because it's easier just to stay home. And in 2023, we know that there are about an average of 1,600 Granite Staters each month who are not working because they are caring for children who are not in school or daycare. So what we find is that families are choosing to basically stay home, may not be a choice really, so to stay home or rely on some kind of a mix arrangement, so to speak, you know, family, friend, neighbor, to be able to take care of their children. But the impact of all of this is that if people are not able to work or go back to work, then our economy is losing because of it.
Sure.
So the employer community is certainly why we want to work with that particular, work with employers a little bit more closely and understand this, because we really want to be able to support everyone across the state to be able to work. So One of the things that I really wanted to focus on really was the Child Care Scholarship Program, because we have had changes to the eligibility criteria, particularly the income levels to child care, thanks to the legislature. Last year, subsidy program did make some pretty extraordinary changes. So the Child Care Scholarship Program is a state and federal partnership subsidy program. So we receive federal funding for this particular assistance program, basically to make it more accessible for families, so families can look for employment, attend school, or even in some cases participate in mental health or substance use mistreatment, or basically engage with the workforce. This is a 12-month eligibility program, so it helps to promote stability for families and a continuity of care for children, which is really important. So in the state fiscal year, the state budget last year raised the family income eligibility cap to 85% of state median income. So for example, if you are a family of three, say a single parent with two children, you would be eligible for the scholarship if you make less than $89,100, $180 a year. So this is a pretty significant jump compared to what it used to be. So the family cost share rates have also decreased. So there is a cost share associated with the scholarship program. And it used to be pretty high. There were families who were paying upwards of 20% of their income towards the cost of the cost of child care. So now that has changed, again, with changes by the legislature to support if you are making less than 100% of federal poverty level, which is a really tiny amount of money, there is no cost share. You don't have to pay. For those who are between 100 and 138% of federal poverty level, it's $5 a week.
Now, when you're talking about the cost share, does that mean that the program covers all of the other expenses associated with your child care?
And that's up to the providers. So there are some providers that will accept the scholarship funds provided by the state, and they will not, if there's a difference, there are some who will charge the family the difference, but a number of them do not. So for a lot of families, going back again to the family of three, their cost share, because they're over 138% of federal poverty level, would only have to pay $6,243 a year, which is pretty good compared to the $28,000 I mentioned earlier.
Yeah. So you said out of the 700 or so licensed child cares in the state, you said about 500 of those, I believe?
568 right now that are enrolled to receive scholarship.
So if you 80-ish percent or so accept that.
Yes. So if you have a provider that you want to take care of your child, if they're not currently registered and enrolled to accept the scholarship, then I would encourage the provider to do so. It's very easy. They can do it on our website, nh-connections.org, to be able to register. It doesn't cost them anything. So we would work with that provider to get them set up to be able to accept the scholarship funding.
Are there a limitation to the number of spots or scholarships that are available either at the daycare level or statewide or anything like that?
Now, currently the utilization of the scholarship program is low. We really want to be able to encourage folks, but I think the part of the influencing factor to that is that there are a number of childcare providers who do not have the workforce to support their complete capacity. So they may have a high number of slots, but they can't fill them all because they don't have the workforce to fill the slots. So unfortunately, that is another outcome that we've been experiencing because of the pandemic, that we are trying to work in a number of different strategies and work with providers to support recruitment and retention efforts. Stephanie mentioned, a number of things that are influencing that, such as low wages, other factors that make it difficult to hire people for those particular positions. You have to have a real passion for childcare. And there are a number of people that really do, and I applaud them. My child was in childcare, although that was, you know, in 19 years ago, 18 years ago. So that's, but I really applaud the folks who work in childcare and do what it is that they do, because we really need that kind of support, but they need the support in order to do this work effectively.
Well, thank you for sharing all of that. You know, I'm also thinking of just in my personal life. I'm going to ask my daughter today if they've applied for the child care scholarship because I know they're paying a lot of money for child care. I bet you they don't even know about it. And and the interesting thing about that is I have a daughter that works in education, and I would still not be surprised if she's not aware. So I'm going to – maybe we'll do some work to publicize this a little bit better for the –
like radio shows.
Yeah, like radio shows, exactly. And like your website, nh-connections.com.
.org
nh-connections.org. Very good, Karen. Now, back to Stephanie. You said you have some ideas, some things that we're going to do to make things better, I believe.
Yeah, not just ideas. These are things that are happening. They're funded. We have lots of volunteers working for them, and they dovetail really nicely with what Karen was talking about. But one of the things that we are actively working on in our region is creating a network of early childhood center directors, which is in coordination with similar networks statewide. And so the goal of this is to help directors learn from each other, collaborate, get access to professional development that's important to them. And, you know, we reach the most children when we can get to the directors. It's sort of when you do the math, right? The other thing we're doing to address the child care shortage is training people in the community to open their own family child care businesses and matching them with experienced coaches. So that is ongoing. So anyone who is interested in opening their own family child care business, whether it's in their home or somewhere else, should definitely reach out to us because we have ongoing recruitment and training for that. We have partnered with community organizations to have cohorts in Spanish, Portuguese, Swahili, French. So we're really trying to empower people to address this situation.
Stephanie, I hate to do this to you, but we're out of time. Isn't that a shocker? Like, I told you guys, this is going to fly by.
Let me tell people how they can get in touch.
That's what I want to do. Yeah. So how do people get in touch with and get involved with the Greater Nashua Smart Start Coalition?
Yes. So we always want people to join parents, too. SmartStartNashua@gmail.com. There are many things we're doing in the community.
SmartStartNashua@gmail.com, and that's to connect with Stephanie and the Smart Start Coalition. And it's nh-connections.org. to connect with Karen and all the great things going on at DHHS around early childhood education.
I'll plug in a phone number, too, in case folks want to call instead. For the Bureau, it's 603-271-8153.
Fantastic. Karen, thank you so much for coming on the show, sharing with us your expertise.
Thank you.
Stephanie, lovely talking with you and learning a little bit more about what you're doing at Smart Start.
Thank you.
All right. So we're out of time. I'm shocked. It always flies by. But you've been listening to the United Way Community Connections radio show on WSMN. We will be back next Monday. I just looked on the calendar. We're going to have our friends from AARP. And we're also going to have our friends from the Nashua Community Music School. So until next week, please remember my golden rule, at least, and that's be kind to one another, because great things really do happen when we live united.